Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Esther Matildiadis, an Alexander Technique teacher in North London, England. Esther has worked a lot with children, and specifically she's worked with another Alexander teacher in England named Sue Mary, who has been working with children for many, many years at the Educare Small School in Kingston. And she's also an assistant teacher for the Developing Self, a specialized postgraduate training course for Alexander teachers working in education. And Esther and I have had two previous conversations, one about her work at this Educare Small School, which places quite a bit of emphasis on introducing Alexander technique ideas to children. We also had a conversation more generally about the Alexander technique and children. And today we're going to be talking to parents who are interested in what we've been talking about, interested in the Alexander technique ideas generally, and want to know what practical steps they can take to help their children, specifically children who are going to schools, typically public schools in the U.S. and I guess in England they have a different name, state schools.
State schools.
But that's who this podcast is directed at. So Esther, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. It's lovely to be here with you.
It's great talking to you again. We've got a lot of good feedback from earlier conversations that are podcasts. Before we get into our topic today, could you just give our listeners a very short description or definition of the Alexander technique?
Yes, I thought I'd modify the definition I gave before and say it in terms of children. So Alexander technique helps children respond to life in a more coordinated, poised and considered way, which helps improve both physical and mental well-being. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd make it easier.
Mm-hmm. And I think that probably a lot of parents of children who have spent two or three or 4 years or more in school have noticed that their children don't seem as coordinated and as easy in their bodies as they were before school. And so we want to talk a little bit first about school itself and what issues come to the fore there. The thing that strikes me about school is that you're suddenly asking a child to sit relatively still in standardized furniture, which may not fit him or her for long periods of time.
Yes.
And would you like to elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be the experience that at kindergarten, children are encouraged to move and use very good furniture quite often. That's they're encouraged to lie on the floor or sit on stools that have flat tops, which is brilliant, or stand and do work. And then suddenly when they hit formal age school, their furniture is worse. They often have back slanting seated chairs, so that your hips are slightly lower than your knees. And yes, not often very adjustable furniture. Tables are either too tall or chairs are too tall for the children to actually put their feet on the floor. So and they're asked to sort of try hard and sit for long periods of time where children really actually want to move quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. And just, we don't want to get too technical here, but having a seating surface that's backwards sloping, we won't go into the details here, but biomechanically, that is not a great idea for anybody. and it tends to produce support in the wrong parts of your body that creates all sorts of distortions. And a lot of times kids are sort of stuck with that. They don't really have a choice, especially any kid that has longer legs, for example, is going to have a real issue with standard size chairs. Right.
Yes, right. Yeah, and the other way around.
Absolutely. And not even just in classrooms, but I can remember visiting my daughter's middle school cafeteria once, and it was just amazing to me that there would be these tables that seated, I think, 8 people, 2 on the far ends and 3 on each longer side. And the kids were sitting on rounded surfaces that were bolted to the table. So there was no option to change anything.
No, kids, completely fixed.
Of vastly different sizes and shapes were stuck in the same situation. And I think in general, those kind of furniture decisions are based on making life easy for custodial staff, stacking chairs, that sort of thing. But the price to pay for the kids is pretty high. So
yes.
in terms of parents' interaction with, if a parent is concerned about what's going on with their child, I suppose one possibility is to somehow introduce some Alexander training or some Alexander thinking even.
Yes.
Into the school system. And I know you've done some work on that. Could you describe that a little bit?
Yes, I'm part of a special interest group that's in the UK, and it's looking at Alexander in education. So as part of that, we've developed curricula, 10-week curricula for schools, primary, secondary, and tertiary level, actually. So that's sort of primary schools, secondary schools, and at university level. And introductory 10-week courses that schools and colleges can buy into. Or at the very least, inset days. So teachers have training days, and we can introduce concepts and the benefits of Alexander technique through those initially to see if the teachers would be interested in bringing sort of more Alexander technique into the schools. Mm-hmm. So, and part of the training that I'm assisting on is teaching Alexander teachers ways in which to bring those ideas into schools and create jobs, hopefully.
Right. Yeah, and I know you've done some work kind of coordinating that initiative with the official UK program.
Yes.
For schools. So if you're in England, there are these resources available that are specifically directed at the British school system.
Internationally, actually. Mm-hmm. We've had people on the course from Japan and the States and mm-hmm. throughout Europe, and they're very sort of generalized, they're sort of flexible 10-week programs so that mm-hmm. you can create something and be creative and be an individual Alexander teacher, but have guidelines so that there's a sort of general, this is what you would expect if you have Alexander technique in a school setting.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now I don't want to downplay that, but I remember talking to my wife about this idea, similar ideas. Back in the day, she taught school mainly at a middle and high school level. But one of the things she said to me was that teachers in America, anyway, teachers here are frustrated by just the immense amount of stuff they're being asked to do around
yes.
testing and all kinds of things. There's a lot of dissatisfaction in the teaching profession from some sort of overload issues. And when you say to an elementary school, we got a new thing for you to do, the initial response is, good God, I'm already doing way too much. So I'm not saying it can't happen, and it would be wonderful if it happened, and maybe it could happen with PE teachers, of whom there still are a few in America, and it doesn't seem to be a real popular subject anymore. I know that my kids managed to weasel out of taking any PE courses, essentially. But I mean, so just to be realistic about it, if you're a parent and you want to take that approach, just be aware of that problem in the States anyway.
Yes.
So another way that parents could be proactive is just taking a look at their kids who are carrying backpacks to and from school, and take a look, and I think you're going to see that in many cases that's really distorting their posture. And you might even, as a parent, take that backpack and put it on your own pack and then realize your kid's weight is way less than yours. And just imagine what carrying something like that around involves. Yeah. I mean, do you have any thoughts on there? You have any thoughts on that?
I know it's a very tricky one. My son is at secondary school and his backpack is enormous, and then there's days when he has art and PE, so they're carrying huge weights, and they don't seem to have lockers anymore for children to leave things in, and
right.
That would be just a wonderful thing. So I know my son's school, for the first year they attend secondary school, they have lockers, but then as they go through the school, they don't. So, I mean, that would be a wonderful thing to plan into a school, to have some lockers so that children didn't always have to carry all their books around with them.
Right. Well, when I was going to school, we had lockers from junior high on up, middle school on up. But I think one of the things that's happened in the U.S. is that lockers are no longer provided because of drugs, and they don't want places for the kids to store them. So an unintended consequence of that, of course, is this weight issue.
Yes.
But so I think it would be good for parents to be aware of it and see if there are some ways around it. Maybe the kids might even pay to get some extra copies of books for home use. Even though they're expensive, it could save their children an awful lot of headaches down the road.
Yes.
So those are some proactive ideas for parents involving schools, one way or the other. But maybe you could start by talking a little bit about how if a parent starts to observe that their kids are their posture doesn't look good, they're just generally not as easy in their bodies as they were a few years ago, some suggestions for parents to deal with that, address that outside of the school system.
I think one good way of dealing with sort of posture and awareness is through, if you're dealing with younger children as they're growing up, is through stories. And we use storytelling and characters at Educare. And then you've got some characters, Terry Tall and Digby Down, that you can play around with, and role-playing games. So it makes it fun, and they become curious about their bodies. And we're not talking about right and wrong, but sort of choices that children can make, rather than saying, stand up straight, sit up straight, you're slouching again, rather than being a punitive thing.
It does seem like it's going to have to come via the parent's own example, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. It would be very, very helpful if parents had some lessons in Alexander technique so that they can, yes, teach by example, because we just copy our peers, you know, children, that's how children learn, we copy. So if your mum's telling you to stand up straight but she's not and you're copying her example, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and you know, the founder of the technique, F. Matthias Alexander, has an interesting passage in one of his books where he talks about nannies. Parents, back in the day, I guess in England, pretty much everyone had a nanny. And he said, well, typically a parent, when they're looking for a nanny, will go for the cheapest one they can find. And they, the last thing they're looking for is a good use of the nanny's good use of their own physical mechanism. That's not really in on their radar. And he points out that, that children are incredible mimickers of people around them, especially people around them a lot. I think most parents are aware of that. And not only that, but he pointed out they are especially good mimickers of any pattern that's extreme in one version or another. They'll go for the weird. And now today, when people choose nannies or child care people, they go through their criminal record for sure. I mean, that's a big thing today. But again, I don't think most parents think in terms of the patterns of use that their children are going to be exposed to, either in themselves or in a caretaker, that are going to be transferred to the child. And so, yeah, I think it's kind of up to the parents to do, to kind of take the lead there. I'm sure you've had the experience of parents calling you and saying, my kid's posture's terrible, can I send them to you?
Yes.
And tell me what's wrong with that.
It's very, very difficult to just teach a child. I mean, I've had different experiences where that children are sent on their own and then it's just in isolation and parents don't really understand, or they've sat and watched a lesson and thought, well, there doesn't seem to be much going on.
Right.
And again, they haven't had the experience, so it doesn't lead to sort of long-term learning. The best experience I've had is when I teach a child with a parent and they enjoy the experience together, and then they can both share the experience at home.
Right. So could you give an example of that? Yeah, I think we before we started talking officially, you mentioned a specific example.
Yes. I'm giving lessons to a little 10-year-old boy and his mum. And initially I said, well, maybe the parent can sit in, because I'd had this experience before of children learning in isolation. But actually it was a fantastic way of playing games, because it wasn't just one-to-one, there was three of us in the room. And so we were able to use the storytelling and the role play and the physical games. And because mom was part of it, it made it much more of a friendly environment for the child. And we all sort of had a go at you know, doing things together. But also then it went home and I was able to give them books to read or stories or send them little films, and they were able to share it together and know what was going on. So they were both learning. It was sort of, yes, it's mainly for the little boy, but really it's much more of a holistic learning when the parents involved too. Worked really well.
And there are lots of online Alexander resources that a parent can share with their children. So another thing that I think parents might want to look into is the Alexander process called body mapping, which is basically learning on yourself where certain key joints and relationships are. Just kind of like anatomy of the self, it's not detailed anatomy like medical school anatomy. It's very simple, actually, but most people have very poor conceptions of what their structure is, and children can pick up on those ideas very, very quickly.
Yes.
Extremely, and they love it. And they enjoy it.
They really love it, and they love seeing the skeletons, mm-hmm. or, you know, having a play around with things and then finding things on themselves,
right.
or, you know, the wonderful apps there are now where you can manipulate skeletons on a screen.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
they can move joints. So, yeah, they really enjoy those sorts of learning.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think might be useful. There's something called Alexander Technique directions, self-directions, which are basically ways of telling yourself what you want. And there's some newer ones called Freedom Directions, and there's a lot of material about them now on the web, that are very simple and very easily transferable from one person to another. Neither one has to be an Alexander teacher. And my experience is that kids in particular pick up on them very, very quickly. Mm. So there are resources. I guess the basic message is there are resources for a parent who wants to help their children, but I don't think a parent can outsource that to somebody else. I think they have to be a bit proactive.
Yes. Yeah.
In themselves. Do you have any other thoughts for parents, suggestions, ideas?
I think once you've had some lessons, if that's at all possible, and shared the experience with your children, there is, as you say, resources out there, but moments that you can choose, like transition points in the day that you can come back to yourself. So choosing to clean your children's teeth mindfully, or get them to do a bit of washing up with you mindfully and think about their bodies. Just have certain set times where they can build things up. And then we created sort of little checklists for children. I was doing a project in a primary school looking at sitting and furniture, but we created a little how to sit like Terry Tall checklist.
Mm-hmm.
So a child could stop and think about those sort of directions before they got on with their piece of work, and then come back to the little checklist that was in front of them every now and then. So once they have some experiences and learning, then those things are really useful
mm-hmm.
To have. Yeah.
Yeah, and also I think it's worth mentioning that it would be of enormous benefit to the parents themselves.
Yes.
Even apart
yes.
from their children, it's kind of a win-win situation.
Yeah.
So, if there's nothing else you want to add, do you have anything else you want to say on this topic?
I was just thinking in terms of we often think of it being postural, but children can learn so much about their emotions and their physical response to emotions through the Alexander technique, and that can all be part of building a sense of emotional intelligence, as well as sort of having mm-hmm. those physical benefits. So I use a game called Emotion Stones, where they have a set of stones with little faces on them with all different emotions, and then mm-hmm. they get to role play what happens in their bodies and whether they can guess how the other person's feeling. So I think that aids communication within the family, or, you know, response in a classroom. So it has this real wonderful psychophysical effect, Alexander technique learning. So yes, has lots of benefits and lots of ways we can work with children.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's end on that note. My guest today has been Esther Matildiadis, an Alexander teacher in North London, England. She works with Sue Mary at the Educare Small School in Kingston, which emphasizes Alexander along with a more traditional academic course as well. She also teaches one-on-one with adults and children in her private practice, and she gives workshops. I will put a link to her site by the interview. If you live in the London area, you can get hold of her and have lessons or get more information about what she's doing. I'll also put a link to the Developing Self site, which she mentioned earlier in the interview, where you can get some information about the program they've come up with for integrating Alexander work into the school system. And I'll also put a link to a site where you can find more information about the Alexander technique generally and locate a teacher anywhere in the world. Esther, thank you so much for being on the show again today.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be part of it.